Blog Talk Radio.
Have you ever wondered why it's happening again?
Welcome to Mindshifters Radio with your co-host, the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael Rice, and his wife Jeannie. Michael and Jeannie share with you the wisdom of the ancient Aramaic internal process of forgiveness. They offer tools and support 5 days a week. They will support you in building a solid foundation within yourself to live in pure love. In Aramaic, Rachma. Michael is the author of Why Is This Happening to Me Again? For more information on Michael and Jeannie, please visit www.whyagain.com. And now your co-host, the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael and Jeannie Rice.
To the brightness within you and the truth that is rooted within me.
Happy Wednesday and welcome to Mindshifters Radio with the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael Rice. I'm Michelle Fiché, and I'm here today with Dr. Tim Hayes. We warmly welcome you to the show, and thank you for choosing to be with us. Today is March 26, 2014. Our call-in number is 646-200-4169. Press 1, and that puts you into queue to talk with Dr. Hayes. We encourage you to call in with your comments or questions, allowing you to actively strengthen and deepen your process. So now let's welcome Tim in the process of learning and practicing forgiveness.
Thank you, Michelle. It's a delight to be here. And we will keep our fingers crossed about maybe hearing from Michael and Jeannie later today. They're on their excursion in Costa Rica looking for ways to make another teaching center happen. And at that teaching center, they would be doing a lot of what we're doing here on this internet show, where we're here to teach and support in the learning and practice of tools, practical tools that people can apply to their lives to improve the quality of their life, their emotional life, their physical life, their relationship life. And these tools, when I was first introduced to them about 10 years ago or more now, I listened to a four-hour set of audio CDs from Dr. Rice, and I finished the audio set, and I said, well, this is like coming home. This is what I've been trying to teach people for 25 or 29 years in therapy. And he had two pieces that I didn't have as a clinical psychologist. One of them was the knowledge from the ancient Aramaic and the Kaboris manuscript, and he's the director of a foundation which is charged with translating that work directly from the ancient Aramaic into English so we can learn a little bit more about what was actually known by the great teachers like Yeshua, commonly known as Jesus, and the people that taught Yeshua and the ancient knowledge that was available. And the other piece he had, which I didn't have in my work, was the very focused tool called the Reality Management Worksheet. And the Reality Management Worksheet is the core tool that Michael teaches and has a series of workshops around, and it's what this internet show is focused on, helping get out there to people, young and old, because this tool holds in it the ancient Aramaic technology of forgiveness. And forgiveness in the ancient Aramaic language meant being fully responsible for everything you're thinking and feeling and realizing that you are creating your internal experience. And forgiveness is a tool that lets you remove anything that doesn't belong in your system. Any form of hostility or fear, any negative, fearful thoughts, any judgmental thoughts, any thoughts of guilt or shame, any thoughts of psychological pain or hurt. In the ancient Aramaic, they understood that this is an energy system that we call the body, and it has laws, natural laws, not man-made laws, what do we call them? When a man makes a law, he writes a rule, and these laws just function this way all the time. There's no way to break these laws. We either live within them or we get bruised and broken if we try to pretend they don't exist. We get the effects of either living in accordance with the laws, and once we do that, we gain some access to the power that lies behind the law, or we end up with all kinds of negative consequences, and we wonder why. And the ancient Aramaic language understood that if I choose a certain set of thoughts, I will begin to have the feelings that go along with those thoughts. And the ancient Aramaic language understood that one of the gifts we were given by the Creator is the infinite capacity to choose the focus of our thoughts. They also understood that if I store an energy in my system that doesn't belong there, and that energy gets resonated, I don't have a choice about whether or not I feel it. I will feel whatever is in me that gets resonated. If I have been strengthening my capacity to observe myself, if I've been introduced to the concept that I'm not just a physical body, that I actually have a spiritual life as well, and I've developed the capacity to step back and observe my thoughts as they're happening, once I recognize I've been triggered to an anger, fearful, hurt, blaming, or shame-focused set of thoughts, and I'm feeling the energy that goes along with them, because I've stepped back in my thoughts, I can choose to act differently than to simply react. I can choose to look inside myself instead of looking outside of me to blame people, places, and things outside of me for what I'm feeling inside. And that set of tools is available on the website at www.whyagain.org. And if you go to that website and you click on the red and white bullseye, it takes you to a page where you can download these tools. The primary tool is the Reality Management Worksheet. And you can download that worksheet and Chapter 24 of Michael's book and 5 or 6 audio files of shows just like this. And you can learn in depth about the ancient Aramaic tool of forgiveness. You can also scroll down that page and find a wealth of other worksheets. And there are worksheets there that help you, if you pick them up and use them for yourself, they will help you dig into your unconscious mind and expose to your conscious awareness anything that's less than love, any false beliefs, any traumatic energies that might be blocking you from living in the present moment with your conscious awareness focused on your true nature as a created being, created by love, created from love, created as love, whose job it is to extend that love in every interaction. And if you have any thoughts in your mind that say, well, that's crazy, this is an unsafe, violent, vicious world, and that's Pollyannish and pie in the sky, and that couldn't be true, then I invite you to go to the website, read Dr. Rice's book, Why Is This Happening to Me Again? Print out the worksheet. Actually look at one of those situations in your life that you think is causing you to feel anger or fear or sadness or hurt. And go through the worksheet process and watch what happens. Over and over again when we do this work, Dr. Rice and I both tell people, I don't want you to believe anything I'm saying. And usually when I get up to give a speech in front of people and I start with that, they laugh. And I tell them, it's not a joke and it's not said for effect. It's absolutely true. I don't want you to believe what I'm saying. I don't want you to live your life from a belief. I have observed, I have experienced over and over again that I have a much better result in my life when I'm living from direct observation. If I'm trying to live my life based on beliefs, I'm living from the past. And if I'm living my life in the moment, fully awake and aware, aware of my true nature, with my breath moving through me, awake of any tightness or tension, aware of any tightness or tension within me, and observing the world around me and the people around me as their true nature, I get a much more loving experience of life. And that's what we're inviting people to do, and there's an entire raft of tools to help you do that, and this internet show is just one of those tools, and we invite you to call in at 646-200-4169 and ask your questions or give your comments or check in the chat room and visit with Michelle, and we'd be delighted to support you in the healing process and in the process of living life from a more loving, nurturing place. So I'll take a breath, Michelle, and ask if we have anything going on the chat room or on the switchboard with anybody with a hand up.
Well, I'm here.
Whoa, Dr. Michael Rice, welcome.
We made it. We are in the big city of San Isidro, Costa Rica, and I'm sitting in the car beside a cafe with an internet connection that seems to be strong enough to carry the signal across. Am I coming across clearly enough to go ahead?
So far, so good.
Awesome. Well, I love the introduction, and one of the things that has recently been reinforced for me in dealing with people is the power person dynamic, which of course we bring up often, and we point out that as long as one is functioning out of their memory bank, out of the past, out of carbon-based memory, that they're limited to simply three behaviors. And the three behaviors they're limited to were developed through interaction with their power person and relate to the levels of stress that they're under. And the first one is, when there's no stress, we do whatever we did to get along with our power person. It's just the automatic decision system in carbon-based memory takes over and causes us to do that, or at least inclines us. Whether we go or not is another story. Then the second level is, when stress starts to build, we'll do whatever we did to resist with our power person. Again, that's the inclination from carbon-based memory, which can be overridden by the spiritual faculty of choice if it's been developed. And as you say, Tim, to develop that ability to step back and observe yourself. The third dynamic is, when one becomes ultra-stressed, they will tend to do, carbon-based memory will guide them, and oftentimes people will feel forced. They've made a choice to go in a totally different direction, but carbon-based memory seems to have enough force to cause them to go in a direction other than that which is chosen, which is they do whatever their power person did to them that they hated the most. But the point that I had in mind and wanted to share on the show today and invite people to look at is, and an exercise came to mind as I was doing this, and that is to sit down with your notepaper, think about the communication style of your power person. What did your power person do when there was no stress, when stress started to build, when they became ultra-stressed? What was it that they did that you hated that they did the most? And then check out and do some really serious, honest writing. Do you use that same communication style? If one's functioning out of carbon-based memory, that's exactly what they use. And if your power person used, let's say, derision or derogatory comments to overpower you and take was up and the chips were down in communication, your tendency is going to be to use and put somebody down in order to transfer the reality,
Michael,
that I have in my mind.
Michael,
sir.
We lost at least a sentence, if not two. So you seem to be back. So try again, talking about when the stress is up and the chips are down and your communication pattern is...
what your power person did that you hated the most. And so to just make some notes about what your power person did for you to win. And then recognize.
Okay. I'm not able to understand you, Michael. You're breaking up too much.
No.
So if I understand, if I'm getting the gist of it, you were suggesting an exercise that would have me sit down with a notepaper and really honestly look at how I communicate today as an adult and what patterns of communication I'm using when I'm in a low-stress time, and the pattern of communication that I use when my stress is at a medium level, and how I really change that when my stress goes to a high level. And that you're
One little refinement, I would do that, but I'd also do that same assessment. I'd also do that for the way I observed my power person communicating. Done that as Seth looking at the way you're.
So we need to
I think
do that.
That exercise will give people the opportunity. Give people the opportunity to observe themselves on a deeper level.
All right. So you're suggesting that we're doing active writing about both what we saw our power person do and specifically the types of communication they used, whether they were using sarcasm or they were using the poor me pattern or they were using overt aggression in the low stress, medium stress, and high stress times, and then do the same thing for myself, being as honest as I can about what is my communication pattern in my low stress, medium stress, and high stress times.
Exactly.
Okay,
it will change the communication game.
So as long as you still have some connection, is there something else to add to that that came to you about the exercise?
Well, just that the real purpose of communication is for me to be able to take a reality that I hold in my mind and accurately transfer it to your mind, as opposed to what most persons who are functioning in that power person game use it to win, to overpower, to get what they want, to manipulate, to control, to try to stay safe, which none of that has anything to do with communication. So when we really want to communicate in relationship, the single goal and the commitment is, I have a reality in my mind. I would like to transfer intact into your mind, so that you, in this moment, as accurately as possible, know what my reality is. And when you use that definition for communication, most people have never communicated in their whole lives. So what we're looking to do is to bring correction to that if that's the case. Does that come across all right? I guess I've lost you.
Okay, so I got some of the stuff you were saying, and what I've heard you talk about before is that we're conditioned in this culture, we're taught to do projection communication, which is to blame others for what we're feeling inside of us, and then try to use our conversation with someone to prove that I'm right and they're wrong. And what you're saying is a new definition for communication is to simply work to effectively transmit what the reality is I've experienced in my mind to another person so they can understand my perspective. Not necessarily to prove that my perspective is right or true or better than theirs. And if that's the definition of communication, I believe you're saying very few people have actually effectively communicated on the planet, because most of us are taught to use our words to overpower someone or to prove that we're right and to prove that they're wrong or to get them to believe at some level that they are somehow responsible for what I'm feeling inside of me. So,
that's it, sir.
All right. All right. Well, I wish we had a
you
better...
You got it. My thoughts for today.
I wish we had a better connection for you. Let me just ask Michelle if we have Rex on and if he has any comments about the time at the prison yesterday, or if Michelle, if you would like to talk about that, since we know, at least we hoped, we were at the prison yesterday.
Yes, we went to prison yesterday. It was quite interesting, and Rex put his hand up, so let me switch over and say good afternoon to Rex. Hello.
Hi, Michelle, Tim, and Michael, and Jeannie, and everyone. How's everybody doing?
Hello.
Yeah, we're here. We're doing great.
Awesome. Cool. I didn't know. I didn't get a response, so I wasn't sure you heard me. Yes. Cool. I missed the first 15 minutes of the program, so I just kind of tuned in at about quarter after because I was working with a client. But it sounds good from what I've heard so far. I love your conversation you're having, Tim and Michael.
Okay,
and
well,
like
tell us
to...
about your time in the prison there, Rex.
Well, I thought it went well. We had an experience of processing on both groups, the fours and the twos. And in the prison system, the fours are the a much higher level of security and usually higher level of crime that they did. And they're usually life sentencers or, you know, close to that or more than one. And then twos are the people who may have been fours at one time that on good behavior were able to reduce down to a two and were working in a penitentiary that is a punishment penitentiary for all the prisons in Michigan. So that's just to give a real brief summary for those that may not know what we're talking about when we're talking about working in the prisons, and what we're doing is teaching the Laws of Living course. I thought it'd be nice to just do a quick summary for people that may just tune into the program for the first time or, you know, wonder what we're talking about. And Michelle and I go in every Tuesday, and we teach two courses, one to the fourth level and one to the second level, the Laws of Living course. And I have found that it to be very productive for me personally to heal issues that have come up in me. And I've had a number of different experiences unfold. And yesterday we had an experience where I had in the second group, what I do in our conversations is the guys are opening up to such an extent that they'll start talking about something that they have as a question or something happening in their day-to-day experience, kind of like a support group scenario. And so then I'll just open it up and just say, well, what's going on? And, you know, how are you feeling about that? And sometimes it gets that way. Mostly it's just them talking about it. And then when they access something other than joy or love, which is essentially what they're doing, I ask them, are you feeling loving right now? And they'll almost always say no. Well, we had like three or four different people we processed through the course of the day, and we were in our second session, winding down, and a gentleman said he just had a question, and he wanted to ask a question, and his question was, do I think God judges us when we die? And we go through the final judgment. And the conversation has ensued, comes up around heaven in the Laws of Living, around what heaven is, around being present, around being the expression of pure love. That's a common part of our conversation. And for some reason yesterday, I must have wanted to confront myself. And I did it in a loving way because I was just following my intuition in the morning, and then it happened in the afternoon, just asking the guys, are you doing the work? And the first group was hardly any of them were doing the work. One, maybe two were actively doing the work daily, according to their response. And then the second group, almost all of them were doing the work, which was pretty cool. I was impressed. I know, Michelle, I don't know if you were because we didn't talk about that part of it. I thought that was pretty cool. And then I just went on to talk about if we're not doing the work, when we're not doing the work, what we're doing is we're saying, okay, carbon-based memory is a recording device. It's evidential. It doesn't have a thinkability. It doesn't have a processability. It doesn't have any of those abilities. It's only what we give it. So it just is a device that takes in information and data and then, to the law of resonance, reports it out through our 9-bit mind. So I was talking about that. And I said, what you're doing is you're intentionally, consciously stating that you are going to allow a tape recorder to run your life. And it was like, it was just kind of like quiet. And so I went on and talked more about it. But then we did the session. And at the end of the session, one of the guys came up and asked that question. He raised his hand and he had a question, and so he asked it. And so I was doing my best because I knew I had an experience in the past, and I've gotten in touch with this more clearly since I left and since Michelle and my conversation, that I got in touch more clearly that I had or have an issue around being or feeling browbeaten by or my judgment is or was being browbeaten by a Bible thumper. And what I would, my judgment of Bible thumper would be a person who believes they know the truth and knows it better than anybody else and goes down and tries to make everybody else believe the same thing, even though it's not accurate. And so, and I, that hit pretty close to home once I framed it in such a way that it was like, now how is that any different than what I think? And I thought, well, I'm different in that I don't force people to believe what I believe. And I thought, okay, but you still got an issue with it. And that's where the work came out of it after the session. But in the moment, I sensed that he was tapping into this really deep-seated issue. And so I was just kind of supporting him gently moving through it. And I asked him, I said, well, it appears you have a goal for me right now. Would you be willing to cancel? And he goes, no, I don't want to cancel it. I just want you to answer my question. And in the moment, I just went, I took a deep breath. And I don't know the exact sequence of events because Michelle showed me that I didn't necessarily see it in the order that it happened. I was a little bit triggered and was, so I recognized that, you know, and I, so when he stood up, which is really rare in the pews, he stood up and started, he just started moving his finger toward me, and he said he was just passionate. I acknowledged he was passionate. I said, well, it sounds, you seem to be feeling a little aggressive, and I'm experiencing some aggression. And so is that just me or is that what you're experiencing? He goes, no, I'm fine. Like, that was my perception of it at the time. And I said, okay. And if I would try to interact with him and he would just talk over me. And as I'm watching this, I'm aware of it at the time, feeling like you're not listening to me. And then I verbalized it. I said, it doesn't appear that you're listening to me or giving me an opportunity to talk. And I didn't even be, I wasn't even able to get that sentence out because he would interrupt me again and talk over me. And it was just like what I experienced with my dad. And when you guys are talking about the power person dynamic, and it was like I started feeling trigger inside. I started feeling activated and started feeling a little upset. It didn't move into anger right away, but it started feeling that. So at that time, that's when I took a deep breath. And when he stood up, I sat down, which was the opposite of the behavior that I might normally have done from my power person dynamic. And that was, if someone got into my face, and this is a perceptual thing that I would experience, if someone got into my face or in the languaging of up in my grill, so to speak, especially if they were waving their finger at me, I would have a tendency to react to that, and then I would go up into their face and wave my finger back, which is just like what Tim and Michael were talking about, or at least that's what I perceived you were talking about it. And what I did, because I was aware of that feeling in me, I sat down and I breathed and I felt, and when I said, would you be willing to cancel the goal? He said, no. And I says, well, I'm going to cancel the goal anyway. And I just verbally canceled the goal while he was still talking. He wouldn't even stop. Cancel the goal out loud. And I felt an immediate release of a lot of energy that I was finding building up in me. And so that's when I just sat down intuitively. And we're up on an elevated altar, and so I sat down, and so I was still a little bit below his head. My face was below him, so I intentionally did that, and I just listened. And he went on for a while, and finally I think the guys kind of got around him when he said, I asked you a specific question, and you won't answer it. And I said, I did answer, and he goes, no, you didn't. So it became into a kind of like a debate. And I just paused again, and this was my experience. Again, Michelle shared with me that it looked a little differently than my experience, which is how it works when we're triggered. We cannot see clearly. I cannot see clearly if I'm triggered. So to trust my perception in any moment I'm triggered is delusional because I'm seeing through hostility or fear. And I cannot trust that reality that I'm experiencing. And my perception is skewed. And I just want to say that right up front. And I'm aware of that and I'm learning it. And that's awesome. Because in that moment I knew I was not seeing clearly. And that's one of the reasons I sat down and breathed and tried to just calm the body and you know, invited Ruka to help and gave Rachman Kuba in his moments. And what I saw happen was the group immediately said, or within a matter of minutes, he accused, I felt accused, that he was communicating to me that I had not answered him, and I had. And I told him what I told him, but it wasn't what he wanted to hear, so he appeared to deny and dissociate from what I communicated to him. And basically the guy said, he did answer. And then he looked at the guys and he said, no, he didn't. And they said, yes, he did. I said, well, the guys are saying I did, and that's my experience as well. So then when that happened, Michelle shared a perception that I was looking for reinforcement, which, you know, based on not being totally clear, doing my best to be clear in that moment and processing a lot of feelings happening in me, it may very well have been accurate. You know, I don't know for sure. But my perception in the moment was that he... And when I invited the guys to say it, is that so that he could see that it had been done and have a reality check, you know, and it was like, come on, just check your reality because you're in denial about something that did happen that you said didn't happen. And finally, after two or three of the guys as a group and three or four of them saying it at the same time, and then one guy just spoke up and says, please just tell him what I said. And he said verbatim what I said, and it was answering his question. So all this transpired, and it finally, as a facilitator, I realized we were burning time. It didn't appear he was willing to go into it from a forgiveness process. He was
okay.
Looking.
Let me interrupt you, Rex.
Sure.
Let me interrupt you because you're just hammering on this issue,
and
it ties right into what Michael was just talking about.
Mm-hmm.
Related to the purpose of communication. So you were clearly stuck in trying to get the words you were saying to communicate to this other person that you were right and he was wrong. And when that didn't happen, you elicited the outside help of others to try to prove to him that you were right and he was wrong. And just the style of communication is exactly what Michael was talking about. That's which of your power people would do that when they were stressed?
That would be Dad.
Okay, so regardless of who's right or who's wrong, that's a completely irrelevant point, as you said so clearly. Once you're triggered, it doesn't really matter who's right and who's wrong. If I'm triggered, my perceptions have become distorted.
Mm-hmm.
So the story you're telling is a wonderful example of what Michael was just talking about, that even though you had this sense that you were being rational, one of the clues you could use that you weren't yet being rational is when you go back and review it like this and you see, oh, my gosh, all I wanted to do here was to prove to this guy that I was right and he's wrong and I had already answered his question. Michael was suggesting in his opening comments that a new purpose for communication would be to try to effectively communicate from the reality I have in my mind and get somebody else to understand what that reality in my mind is, not that they have to agree with it, not that we have to decide who's right or who's wrong. And that clearly wasn't happening. What was happening was he was saying, no, you didn't answer the question. You kept saying, yes, I did answer the question, and you fell into your dad's power person pattern of, all right, if you won't believe me, I'll find outside experts to prove to you that I'm right and you're wrong. And you can see from the result in yourself, the emotional response in yourself, and the emotional response of the person you were talking to, how effective that was in moving you toward a loving space, which has to be our goal. So go back to your story. I just wanted to point that out. You were just so clearly defining exactly what Michael was talking about.
Yeah, and I heard that in communication. Thank you, by the way, for interrupting and clarifying your experience in my communication. I appreciate that because it was... I think when I got to the place where I started really being I felt frustrated because I wasn't able to convey to his mind fully intact the communication and the answer that I intended to communicate. I was thinking in that realm. My intention was to do that. But as I became triggered more, what I noticed is I started losing my ability to convey it at all. That's accurate. And I knew I was off.
Well, part of what you're saying here, Rex, is that when he said, no, you didn't answer me, you didn't go back and repeat your answer. Pardon me?
Well, I had already done that three times, I think. In the exact same vein, I answered it, and he still would not allow me to share what it was that I was sharing with him to try to convey to his mind. So I think both were happening, Tim. I was definitely reacting. I was definitely had an idea of wanting to be right that I had said his answer, that accurately. I had given him an answer. And I'm sure there were flavors of wanting to be right about what I believed was true as well. And I acknowledge that. And I think that's right on. But there was also this...
Can I break in?
Please.
Am I clear enough to break in here?
Yeah, we can hear you good.
So one of the things I'd like to acknowledge in that context, and this is an awesome conversation, I'm sure that everybody will be able to see themselves in it, but one... that in the middle of that, you were able to make effort toward changing what you would naturally do or unconsciously do from your power person dynamic in that, you know, you maybe didn't make it all the way, but you were able to stop, see that you were in the middle of something other than love, and do something different. Sit down, breathe, and do something different. And that's awesome. That's a huge step forward to break those patterns, because those patterns are so, so deeply ingrained that and there's usually so much pain behind them that the impetus that comes from carbon-based memory is overwhelming. You know, that's the David and Goliath story. And so here Goliath raises his head, person dynamics in your face, and you did something different. That's pretty awesome.
Hmm. Thank you. And I also acknowledge and cancel my goal to proved of and for my behaviors to be approved of and acknowledged. And I invite Rupa Dacuccia to incline me toward healing and restore me to my true beingness love, and heal all my denial in my capacity to generate fear and loss. And the reason I did that essentially is because I started noticing, feeling emotion around you acknowledging that, Michael, because that was my experience. I acknowledged myself, and it's been a part of this process of saying, good job, Rex. I mean, you weren't all the way. But see, when I recognized
that. Yeah, that's
that,
awesome.
Yeah, it is awesome, and thank you. And I can receive that more openly and with my wide open heart rather than thinking I need it. And that was why I was canceling the goal. And establishing a conscious goal with you, Michael, and Tim, and the audience, and myself, and with everyone, is that I'm able to and offer as a gift to myself presence, love, and offer to everyone that everyone is capable and able to do that as a gift of a goal for presencing love in every instant. You know, and it's a plan for beyond this instant. And yes, sir.
Teacher, to expose yourself the way you've just done and to be able to receive the feedback that you've done. I think Tim's feedback is going to lift you to a whole other level. But to be willing to expose yourself is also awesome. I think it's very cool. And, of course, I've never been in a situation as a teacher where somebody challenged me like that in the classroom. But Jeannie, why are you laughing? So that's pretty cool. Nice work. And thanks for sharing the whole dynamic with us, because the whole audience learns from it. It's for all of us.
Well, and thank you. And you're, as Tim would say, highly deserving. You're welcome and highly deserving, and thank you for the acknowledgement. Yes, and I am also. I guess I turned that around. At any rate, it was a powerful experience. Michelle and I had a wonderful conversation, and I would love to hear what's happened for Michelle, because I have been making changes with my email program, and I spent another 5.5 hours on it yesterday after working in the prison, and I chose to do that because I had a live line that was ending relative to the time I had available to fix it, and I had to correct it yesterday. So I chose to do that versus going to the support group, so I'd be interested in hearing how that went for Michelle, and I know that she had a fair amount of things surface as well. And as co-teachers, I encouraged Michelle, and I am sharing this just to solidify it, I encouraged to Michelle, if I appear to be off and appear to be triggered, and she can actually see that and recognize it in a very gentle, respectful, loving way, first check in with Rock Makuba Engaged and Ruka, and check in with Ruka, and then if she gets the affirmation or appropriate, yes, say something, I said step in and even mention to me, Mr. Bauer, because we have to call by last name, Mr. Bauer, you appear to be a little triggered. Would you like to heal what's coming up for you? And wow, that was a bit of a surprise.
Keep breathing. Keep breathing, and then let us know whenever you're ready what's come up for you.
Yeah.
Use that breath to soften whatever feels tight or tense.
I just wanted that from my dad. I wanted my dad to say that.
Yeah.
tried so many times to say that to him in so many different ways. So I canceled my goal for my dad, for you, Dad, to open yourself up and heal. Acknowledge that you have an issue surfacing and you're upset. And that I have an issue surfacing and I'm upset. And we heal it. And invite Rukka Dukkha to incline me toward healing, to restore me to my true nature, love. No, my denial, my capacity to generate fear, sadness, rejection, and pain. Dissociated states of and confusion. Help me to open a direct conscious relationship with and gently remove my dissociated states, my dissociated and somebody help me out here. My dissociated and
Projected.
Well, they just focus on not so much the words, but ask to be shown the hidden part of your mind that's actually creating this pain. Just put your conscious mind on the shelf and just breathe. And you don't have to say it out loud. Just keep your breath moving. And just ask to be shown the hidden parts of your own mind that are causing this pain.
It's my fear that I won't remember this. That's the words. It's my fear as an infant, as a child.
Okay, so open the throat, soften the breathing.
Yep.
Notice how your throat wants to close it off.
Yep, what I did then. I am remembering. I am open. I am healing this.
And do your best right now as that's coming up to focus on the most loving thoughts you can.
And I am, because what I'm focusing on is how much love I'm feeling from everyone.
Okay, so just focus on that. Get that rolling in your heart space as strong as you can.
And that's what I wanted. I felt all alone. I felt totally alone. Totally alone. That was the disconnection from my awareness that I feel that I'm reconnecting to.
Okay, so let me just invite you to put the conversation aside and just feel and breathe and do what you can to generate the strongest loving feelings you can in your heart space at the same time you're remembering the fear. Because in this work, it's that presence, the conscious, active presence of that energy of creation, that energy that we call love, that actually does the healing. Any terrors that you come up when you're holding that loving space, or in a case like this where you have a bunch of people on the phone line holding that space for you, It's the energy that does the healing, does the integration. So just be with it. Don't need to talk about it. You do need to breathe and feel it. And just notice what you feel. And keep reconnecting to the loving thoughts.
I feel death. I feel birth. I feel really cold.
Okay. So how else can we support you in this process?
Just allowing me to experience it fully and being present with it and doing exactly what you're doing. I feel more connected, allowing me to communicate now because it feels appropriate. A sense of...
Can I put a thought in there, Rex?
Please.
Yeah. One of the things that would be good to notice, and this is something I'm realizing more and more when it comes to responsibility communication, notice that the conversation about the guy in the jail has not been brought up in the last 10, 15 minutes. He's gone from the conversation. And each time that we're in pain and upset and we start to talk about somebody else, we're in that denial dissociation game. But the minute that we let go of that conversation about them, it's all an inside job. And I think it's just a really great demonstration of the principle that in at least 10 minutes, the guy who triggered all this hasn't been mentioned. And in every case where we've got upset, nothing to do with anybody else but what's going on inside of us. So just, again, I really acknowledge your willingness as a teacher to step up and put yourself in the hot seat and bring this demonstration forward for everybody. It's awesome.
And thank you for that as well, Marco, because within that it helped clarify some of the things that were happening inside and what are still happening. In that it was
nice grab.
Yeah, thank you. As quickly as it went from the inmate to recognizing the part about asking Michelle to help me, support me, take ownership for it, and guide me through my healing process, then it moved to my father, and then from my father it moved to God. That's not what I didn't verbalize that piece, but it was the piece that I'm experiencing right now where although I'm consciously aware of making a decision to dissociate my awareness of my creator and my oneness with God and that beingness, I can consciously be aware of that, but there's still a lot of material around it, and this is just a really deep level I'm experiencing right now of it coming up. And the inclination was I felt disconnected from God. And what came, as you were saying, Tim, just be with it and how we can be support you, it was right then is when I was having an experience, and it's still happening, that and I'm just feeling a lot of energy in my body right now, so I need just to
it's the biggest piece of work anyone will ever do, and it's the moment we talk about in the codependence workshop where I give up because I feel forced to with my power person, the direct experience of myself as love, and buy into the false self. That's the root of all the rage, the grief, the pain, and the trauma, every disease, every disorder, every lack of limitation we'll ever experience in life. That's the core piece of work. So go for it, my friend. Go for it. Rare is the person who has the courage to go there. And I know you've been dancing with it and moving into deeper and deeper pieces of it for several months now. So you're just right on track. It's awesome. But it's a core piece of work.
Thank you. And the awareness is the idea that there's something to dissociate from is a part of the delusion. It's just not true.
And what I do when I talk about someone else, you know, here's our definition of denial. When I talk about someone or something else as the cause of what's going on inside of me, that's the deviate from the pain that I don't want to feel or deal with directly. And that is the pain that when resonated or triggered into activity, something runs. And the whole work is about recouping that, you know, in order for you to live, you, each and every one of us, who giving up of the literal physical light, the awesomeness of being in the presence of the love of God 24/7.
Okay, Michael, you are breaking up. We have less than 90 seconds left.
My, that went by fast.
Well, I'll leave it to you for the show then.
Yeah, we have less than just about a minute left. Exactly a minute left.
Thank you, everyone, for your love and your support. I'm going to continue breathing and supporting the healing process, and I'll share more as to what this is unfolding. So God bless everyone, and Tim, I'll let you finish the program. Thank you.
All right, well, join us again tomorrow, and maybe Rex will be back and share more of his process, and until then, have the best year yet of your eternal life.
Thank you for listening to Mind Shifters Radio with the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael Rice, and his wife, Jeannie, who present the internal Aramaic process of forgiveness. Michael and Jeannie are here every Monday through Friday on Earth Angels Radio. For more on Michael and Jeannie, please visit www.whyagain.com. That's www.whyagain.com. Evolving continuously.